Welcome to the AFL Ratings Podcast. This podcast is with Aaron Bryan. So we talk round one, we talk Port Adelaide and West Coast, and also plenty of fantasy chat there as well. Make necessary adjustments as news comes to hand. This podcast was recorded on Sunday night, March 17th at 10 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Enjoy the podcast. Okay, so let's welcome in Aaron Bryan for round one. How was your weekend, Aaron?
Hey Pete, yeah, it was pretty good fun for a quarter, I reckon. The Eagles certainly gave us a bit of a shock in terms of what they delivered against Port Adelaide, but then it kind of went as to the script after that. They faded away fairly quickly. Port Adelaide established some dominance. We had a bit of fun with it through the call, but a bit of a grueling afternoon, I think, watching the West Coast Eagles likely kickstart another really frustrating campaign where I'm not sure if they've gotten better or worse, but I think it's going to be a really brutal year. And around that, watching the Adelaide Crows on Saturday night, I think they were quite disappointing, which is a bit flattening, I think, for Crows fans here in South Australia, considering where they hope to be. But the Suns are up and about right now, and the weather certainly played a bit of a factor, and the lack of Taylor Walker. Around that, I think it's just, you know, how close the competition actually is, right? We've had a pretty incredible couple of weeks of footy, and, you know, the Blue Baggers are up and about, and Collingwood fans are in the dust, but you know it's very early in what is essentially a 25 round season, and I'm just excited that the expansion clubs are starting to really showcase what they can do. I mean, the Giants and the Suns both being in the top four is pretty massive to start a year.
So you on the call today, Port Adelaide and West Coast. So the power too strong for the Eagles. That fixture for Port Adelaide is actually looking quite nice.
Yeah, they've got a pretty good run to kickstart their season, and I think we saw everything we needed to see from them today. Ultimately, they needed to get a percentage boosting win, which they did, despite that slow start. The Eagles were just, you know, certainly up for the fight early in terms of their contested possession and what they were doing around stoppage, but eventually it caught up with them in the 30-degree heat. And all we needed to see from Port Adelaide was, you know, that run and gun straight through the corridor. They were the best team in the league for transition from defensive 50 into a scoring opportunity last year. And they certainly showed no signs of slowing down in that sense. And then just how their new kind of three-headed behemoth in the back line was going to gel. And man, Asava Radigalia looked right at home in this Port Adelaide lineup. And Brandon Zerfatch is an excellent lockdown player. So I think we saw everything we needed to see to start the campaign for Port Adelaide. They'd be very stoked with getting the Eagles up first in what was essentially a training run by the end of it. They've got a chance to showcase their systems, make sure it's all gelling, but they're stacked with depth. And yeah, I reckon they'll be around the mark come the end of the year.
That's a pretty good situation for Port Adelaide. And I agree with you. I think they should be right there, especially chasing a top four position towards the end of the home and away season. That early fixture is quite nice for them. So let's get on to the game here. Connor Rosie and Zach Butters did as they pleased on Sunday.
Yeah, they looked great through the middle. I think there was a little bit of worry about Zach Butters with the sprained ankle heading into round one. And historically, he's had, you know, these injuries early in the season, and it's taken him a while to get going, but he was back to his best quite comfortably. And I've been sprouting it all kind of pre-season that Connor Rosie, despite the fact he was an All-Australian last year, it just looks like he's gone to another level. He's adding scoring more comfortably to his game plan. The way he's winning his disposals on the outside and the burst that he provides in doing so, he just looks elite. There'll be, you know, discussions about whether he'll be in Brownlow contention this year, and I imagine he and Butters will take votes off each other that will probably hinder that. But yeah, the number one, and you know, being handed the captaincy has seemed to elevate him, if anything. He's only 24 years of age, but I think he's going to get even better this year. So he and Zach Butters combined are going to be a pretty imposing duo. And then you add on top of that Jason Horne-Francis, who's had his first clean pre-season in his playing career, considering last year he had to have surgery on the back of both of his knees and had staples in his calves in the build-up to round one. This year he's actually had a nice clean run at it. There's not as much media attention on him either. And he got a high percentage of set of bounce attendances, more than Ollie Wines by the end of it. And yeah, he cashed in 20 touches, two goals, plenty of inside 50s as well. So they've got a lot of depth running through that midfield now, Port Adelaide. And it's star-studded. And I think the scary part about that Rosie Butters Horn Francis combination is, you know, there's an 8-year trifecta that are probably going to be playing together at Port Adelaide.
It was a solid start for Ivan Soldo as the number one ruck at Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I really enjoyed what I saw. I was a little bit hesitant about how he was going to go, considering the new ruck rule that's come into place, where I guess those bigger-bodied rucks could certainly stand their ground in the center circle or around stoppage and essentially fend off the other ruckman. So I was a bit worried about how he was going to really find and win hit outs, considering he's just more of a mobile around the grounds ruck than an actual tap ruckman. And I guess the only thing going against him from this game is he was playing against Bailey Williams, who's not supposed to be West Coast number one ruck. And historically, I think a lot of other ruckmen have certainly cashed in on facing him. So Soto won plenty of hit outs, a ton of them to advantage. He was the out and out best ruck in the game and certainly one of the better players in the game. But as I touched on before, what he was able to do on top of that, so winning his own possession, hitting the scoreboard with two goals, like that's what Port Adelaide's after with him. And similar to what we saw from Jeremy Finlayson last year when he chopped in for Lycett, that they want a ruckman who can essentially play as another midfielder, who can win clearance, and who can match up around the ground and certainly get involved in terms of scoring. So Soto ticked all the boxes with that. And I guess we'll find out in the coming weeks how he goes against some of those more elite ruckmen. But yeah, I think he's been a good recruit so far. He's certainly better than, I guess, what Scott Lycett was offering with his injury last year.
Harley Reid was on fire. I think it was 8 disposals in the first quarter, but a tag and forward usage restricted his output.
Yeah, I think he shot out of the blocks early, right? I don't think there was a point to prove considering he'd had 55 back pages heading into that round one. And you can compare it, I guess, to Matt Rowe in a sense over the last couple of years where, it's going to be a slow burn. He's not going to be an absolute superstar from the get-go, but we're seeing these flashes of brilliance and he will be there, whether it's either next year or the year after. Like he's going to be an absolute superstar. And we saw that in that opening term. The 8 touches that he had, a lot of them were really imposing, and he set up some scoring opportunities and was a large reason why West Coast were only down by 5 points at quarter time. And again, once he kind of disappeared, the Eagles certainly followed suit. So I won't say that he's, the absolute pillar of their football club, because there's a lot of players who, needed to stand up in these difficult moments. And Andrew Graff is one of those who just totally was unimpactful across the afternoon. But Harley Reid certainly played a pivotal part. And, when they were up and about, he was finding the footy. Finishing on 16 touches is pretty good in your debut. And yeah, it's only going to get better from here for Harley. So I guess the good thing is he's got his debut out of the way. And the hope is now that that media spotlight on him will start to, I guess, slow down a little bit so he can actually just, live his best life and enjoy football.
Port Adelaide and West Coast fantasy wrap here. So I'll wrap up 4 of these in one hit. So Connor Rosie, 111 points. Zach Butters, 107 points. Quite solid, both of those to start the year. Harley Reid, light score there, 55 points only. And it was a very light score from my point of view. And that was Elliot Yeo for 70 points.
Yeah, so the Rosie Butters one was always a tricky one heading into the campaign. I actually had Connor Rosie for quite a long period of time, as I touched on, just having this feeling he was going to go to the next level. And in the end, just to save some cash, went to Zach Butters, and it was probably the play. Obviously, Connor scoring a little better than Zach, but in terms of break evens, I think, Zach Butters will make more money out of this. And long term, both of these guys are going to be in your top eight best midfielders by the end of the year, I think. So it's just a money game. Harley Reid did everything we kind of needed him to. There were some hopes that maybe he could be a 70, 80 forward, but at the end of the day, he again has made his break even 55 when he, needed to make 33. So he'll be around. I think there will be a couple of games where they either rest him or make him the sub. But if you picked him, which, 84% of the competition did, I think, you've got what you wanted there. The Elliot Yeo ones are a little bit iffy. Like he's bang on hit his break even there, but the role was there. He was around the middle for the majority of the contest today. And hopefully, I guess, against more, I guess, weaker midfields, he can certainly cash in. So Port Adelaide certainly dominated with the Butters, Rosie, Horn, Francis combination. But, 18 centre bounce appearances for Yeo was top four and top three in terms of their midfielders. So he's got that right. Opportunity rather, and he's tackling, he's finding the footy, so hopefully we'll see some better scores from him across the campaign.
Round one notable fantasy scores here. So I'll wrap up the first four just together. So 125, Isaac Keeney. I got onto him. I'm pretty sure you did as well. Nick Dacos won 23 points, and that was pretty solid. And that's pretty much my expectation where he will sit for his average for the season. Zach Merritt, quite solid. Finn McInnes started as a sub, so he got loose in the end. Zach Merritt for 125 points. And Tom Green, obviously, was quite solid, 145 points against the Kangaroos.
some absolute monster scores there, right? And I think that's a showcase of what the game has to offer right now. It's all about speed. It's all about contested footy as well. A lot of front on pe pressure from the top tier teams. So Isaac Heaney getting a run through the middle for the Swans is massive. And the good part is, even though he's got that round five bye, Taylor Adams probably isn't back until round four at the earliest, and they probably want to get some game time into him in the VFL. So maybe even after round five is when Adams comes back. So you can probably lock in Heaney for the first month, get the cash, and then figure out what you want to do with him after, whether it's, McRae if he looks good once he comes back in. You could go to Flanders if you don't have him. So there are options in terms of that F1 spot. So Heaney, yeah, was a great pick for those who jumped on him earlier. He's had a history of kind of burning fantasy owners, but he was great. Nick Daicos is clearly the best player in the game. He was worth every penny. And again, you're going to have to decide what you do when round five comes around, because you could burn two trades just getting him out and back in, but I wouldn't want to not have him from round six onwards, right? And if you don't play a star of that caliber through his bye week, even though it is best 18, you're missing out on a big scoring opportunity there. So he's a bit of a headache, but awesome to own. Zach Merritt, yeah, lived up to the hype, considering Finn McGuinness was named as sub, and even when he came on, he didn't really restrict him. So Merritt's just an all and out, as long as he's not, getting that stopper role, which is a lot less frequent these days. He's just a reliable fantasy player. And Tom Green's, yeah, he's taken that next step. And we saw that last year when he started to push 110 more frequently, where there's every chance he finishes the year as the highest averaging midfielder. But with that awkward bye that, a lot of people had Whitfield, a lot of people may have gone on Josh Kelly. And on top of that, are the Suns players in that round three bye. I think not many actually had Tom Green, but those who did, yeah, what a massive score he delivered with.
Onto the rucks here. So we're group three together here. Tristan Cherry was excellent, 121 points against the Giants. Ron Marshall, 118 points, was outstanding again. And Max Gawn responded from last week. The opening round, a little bit quiet there. So 137 points from Gawn, pretty outstanding score.
Yeah, awesome. I think Marshall and Gawn are the clear, I guess, alongside English, your 1-2-3s, and Maxi is going to have a pretty big year. Especially, the fact that he could score so comfortably against Tim English is massive. The Tristan Cherry one's funny because it was a weird game. There wasn't actually a lot of hit outs in terms of stoppages. Like Kieran Briggs was quite low on his output. Tristan Cherry was as well, just the 19 hit outs. But the part that was the best about him was the tackling. That's what kind of kept him in it across the contest. To get to 121 was massive. There was a significant period of time, I think up to three quarter time, where it didn't look like he'd get anywhere near a 90. So his tackling was massive, which has helped contribute to his score, and his break even is so low that it's delightful for those who definitely started with him. I imagine a lot of people will go Grundy to Sherry if you didn't have him originally. I'm one of the ones who went Grundy and Sherry to start, so I think I might have to hold Brody for a couple more weeks. That being said, he gave away four frees against, so he's not going to do that every week. He doesn't play Collingwood every week, so hopefully he's a bit more well-mannered when he plays these other sides. But yeah, Max Gawn, Rowan Marshall, Tim English still feel like the end game rucks.
Next three players are grouped together here. It was wet conditions on the Gold Coast on Saturday night, Adelaide versus the Suns there. So 126 points, Noah Anderson, Roy Laird, 119 points, and Sam Flanders also 119 points.
Yeah, I'll throw Tuukka Miller in there as well with the 100, and Matty Rao with the 115. That in wet conditions, the tackling just went through the roof. And I guess the contrast of that is your Jordan Dawson, who, finishes on 89, four frees against, but just didn't have his marking game. And that's where he gets up to, 120 plus is the, and he tried to do it at least four or five times where he floated across a pack. He was in prime position to take the mark, and it just slipped through his hands. So your Andersons, your Rouse, your Crouches, your Millers, and even Flanders, just massive possession winners. And in the wet, cashed in with extra tackling as well to get some really big scores. So I like all of them this year. The Rory Laird one, we spoke to Matthew Nicks on SA Grandstand on Saturday, and I tried to word it as honestly as I could, just, hey, what is the deal with Rory Laird's role? Like, we've heard rumblings of him going forward. And he basically clarified by saying that Rory's been working on his goal kicking because it's the last piece of his midfield puzzle. He was never going to play as a forward. It was always going to be starting in the guts, but he'd have moments of time, as we even saw on the Gold Coast on Saturday, where he gets a clearance out of the middle, or he receives a handball and he's running towards goal, whether it's 50, 40 out, and he would just constantly shank them. So he'd spent the whole preseason kind of practicing his goal kicking so that he got better at that, as it was just to complement his midfield game. And I don't know whether it was because of the wet or not, but it didn't work. He only had the two behinds. He certainly missed a couple of good shots. But yeah, it's not going to actually impact his fantasy role. So I really like all those guys. I think Sam Flanders is an absolute must following round three if you don't have him. And Matty Rowell, even he hasn't gained too much cash by that point. Yeah, he'd be a handy kind of M4 if you can get him in.
Yeah, it's just a deep rotation in that Adelaide midfield for centre bounces. So I guess maybe just shave off, 5-10% potentially for Laird. But, he can find the ball on the moon. So I wouldn't be too concerned about him scoring from a fantasy point of view. And just the final player here we're going to touch on for round one here is 161 points from Caleb Sarong, massive 46 disposals against Brisbane on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm over the moon of this one. He was owned by 5% of the competition, and I can't actually tell you exactly why I picked him, but
Nice.
there was just part of me that just thought he was so good last year. And Fremantle don't have the bye, and it just kind of made sense. It was like, stuff it, right? He could be a 110 player, and that'll be good enough. And 46 touches is just unbelievable. He's not going to be 5% owned by the start of round two, that's for sure. Like, what a remarkable performance. Absolutely amazing against a pretty quality midfield. In terms of the actual numbers around that, so like he was, there were rumblings about Justin Longmuir kind of experimenting with other roles for his midfielders, and Sarong was never a name mentioned. So there was talk of, Brayshaw on the wing. Obviously, Hayden Young can go mid to defence, Nat Fyfe can go forward, but there was never talk of Sarong exiting that midfield group. And he had the most centre bounce appearances out of all of them. 23, only ahead of him, Luke Jackson, right? So he was the number one midfielder for the Dockers. Nat Fyfe did actually pretty well as well today, considering, and I don't think he's going to be reported for his bump either. It was a very innocuous kind of hit there on Jared Lyons, but 21 touches for 86. When we've seen across the preseason in this role, he's been very handball happy and just low scoring. To be able to add some tackling into that has clearly got him to a better score. So yeah, the Dockers midfield looks like something to cash in on right now. Like Hayden Young on 95 as well. They're handy options when you're trying to get out of these buy players, right? Like, for example, I went pretty heavy on a lot of the buy guys just to make money. So like Lachie Whitfield, I grabbed, who again will become Hayden Young. I've grabbed Josh Kelly at an M4, who could possibly become like another Fremantle mid, if that, Andrew Brayshaw looks great. It's a bit of a jump in terms of money. Nat Fyfe's an option up forward. So these are the guys you're probably going to need to target in these next 2 weeks, because the Brisbane Carlton on the bye this week, but then that Gold Coast GWS one feels like where a lot of players are going to own guys that are going to miss. And it is best 18, so it's not the end of the world. You can probably hold your rookies, but your premiums, you don't really want to miss out on a score there. So that's where you're going to start needing to look around. I mean, Josh Dunkley's another one. Like, he's obviously got the bye this weekend, but come round three, he's going to be making a lot of money, and he's been scoring quite well. So this is the tactical aspect of looking ahead without trying to lock in too many trades, because someone's going to get injured or Connor Butterick's going to drop a 25, and then you've got to shift very quickly. But if you can kind of factor in one trade per week, with a little bit of a spreadsheet over the next month or so, just gives you a little bit of forward planning.
Okay, Aaron, where can the listeners find you?
So you can find me at Aaron Bryans on Twitter. You can hear me on the ABC Adelaide website, the ABC Listen app for SA Grandstand every Saturday at 11 here in Adelaide. And I'll be calling the Adelaide Geelong game on Friday, which shapes up as a pretty big one now, because the Cats certainly feel like they're in contention this year, despite going a little bit younger, and Adelaide need to bounce back from their loss on the Gold Coast. So really looking forward to that one. It's a bit unpredictable how it could play out.
You can find me at AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter, aflratings.com.au and AFL Ratings Twitter there as well for a stack of fantasy information. Well, Aaron, have a great week and we'll speak to you at the end of round two.
Cheers, Pete.